You're listening to episode 99 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, August 17th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and joining me today are my fellow Mad Chatters, Matthew.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Jeremy.
I'm the guy you swipe right for.
On today's show, we're going to be doing our 10th, can you believe it, our 10th Mad Q Party. Which means by the end of today's episode, we will have asked and answered 100 hypothetical questions about the Disney universe at large. Crazy.
How about that? Those are fun numbers.
Milestone. And next week, dun dun dun, is our 100th. So we've got huge things planned that we haven't planned yet.
If we were a TV show, that would be like our 5th season.
Oh.
Have you ever stopped and wondered why in American culture or in Western culture we fixate so much on tens and hundreds? What's the significance?
Perfect little zero numbers.
It's just strange concept. Who came up with that?
Deep questions from Jeremy on this podcast. But before we get to the Mad Q Party, I've got a few items of business that I want to talk to you guys about. Three, specifically. The first is an email that we got from a listener this week, and it was specifically...
Boy.
I know. And I am trying to give... this guy has made me question a lot of things, and I just want to know whether you guys... Like, I want to hear your take on it. Like, that sounds really mysterious, but it's really not, I promise. So this is in response to the debate Matt and I had last week about Princess Medleys.
Yeah, listening back to that, I have some questions too, but we'll listen to this.
Well, no, you ask yours first, because I don't think they're going to be the same.
My question is, how in the world did I lose that?
How dare you?
The Princess Medley one is the one I have in mind.
Well, that's not his question. His question says, this is Keen, by the way, and I'm so sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. It might be Kenny, but it's K-E-N-E, so I'm going to go with Keen. I just listened to your latest podcast. As part of it, you were talking about the Princess Medleys. You mentioned Mickey and the Magical Map and how the singers do such a great job. I've never been to Disneyland, so I had to watch it online. I saw the show about 4 different times from different YouTubers. I have to go out on a limb here, but it is a recording. The voices are the same every time. Sorry to let you down. It just isn't possible for 4 different shows on different days to sound exactly alike. My biggest clue was when you said every time you saw the show, the singers were flawless. I wish I could see it live. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Am I crazy? That's live, right?
You forwarded us this email, and I thought about it as well. I think it's live. I'm pretty sure it's live. First off, they're all wearing microphones. Why would they go through the effort of wearing microphones? And they're not just like handheld, like pretend microphones like you do like when you're in the shower with the shampoo bottle.
Now it's, I'm going to have to go listen to all these too. I'm going to have to listen to like 5 different recordings.
Yeah, I'm just saying like they wouldn't put on like Britney Spears style like the headphones now, I'm currently wearing.
I could probably tell you I'm not into the show business stuff, so I don't know for sure how this works, but it makes sense that if they were doing like a, you know, it's like McDonald's fries. No matter where you go to McDonald's, no matter what McDonald's it is, the fries are going to be the same.
Yeah.
The cooks are not allowed to put their own seasoning on it and be creative with it. So I think in order to continue uniformity, they probably just, you know, they memorize it the way it is. And that's how they do it every single time. And after doing like 500 shows, you're going to sing it the same way every single time. It's like muscle memory. It just comes out of your throat that way.
You guys, this is crazy because I sent 3 arguments back to him, like in a kind way, saying, well, this is why I said that. And you mentioned 2 of them. 1, they're wearing microphones. 2, it's totally possible to sound alike every show. I mean, think of Someone made a good point that Broadway shows, they do that 8 times a week.
I was going to say, you go listen to Patina Miller sing something from Sister Act, and she sang it for 4 years. I guarantee she's going to sing it all the exact same.
Totally. And the third argument I pointed out was Aaron Wallace sent me as backup an old tweet from the Disney Auditions site. And it says, quote, seeking vocalists for Mickey and the Magical Map at Disneyland. So that's also kind of an indication that they probably use vocalists. Well, he responded back and said, I have your proof. In the Little Mermaid song, which is, you know, the guy comes out with Sebastian as a puppet.
Yes.
The singer makes a funny kind of uptone on the word wonderful. This funny kind of pronunciation is on all the videos. He is also wearing the headset. So if they dubbed in the singing for him and for Mickey, I make the leap they also dub in singing for the princesses. Well, once again, if he does the uptone once, I mean, why wouldn't he do it every time?
Is it the same actor in all the videos?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We need Brian from last week to call Ed O'Neill to get in touch with someone for sure that he knows at Disney to get us down to the bottom of this.
Well, the biggest question I have comes next, because he said, I also noticed the puppeteers for the Finding Nemo show wear headsets, yet they play the exact same soundtrack during that show that they sell on the CD.
Now, no. They sing live.
Exactly.
Sing live. No. Because last time I went in June, we went to see the show, and whoever was doing Crush that day, sorry if you're listening, and maybe it's just a bad day, but it was terrible. I'm pitchy, you know, because he sings that go with the flow. It's a lot of arpeggios. I mean, it's got to be spot on, and it always has been. Mm-hmm. But this guy was bad. I mean, Jessica and I were looking, he's like, this is terrible. What's wrong?
I've heard voice cracks during Finding Nemo as well. And because, you know, I love that soundtrack, so I listen to it a lot. So I'll be singing along, and all of a sudden, they'd be in the big, and you're like, yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes.
No, it was bad. And they came back for the reprise at the end, and it was just as bad. And everybody was kind of like, oof.
See, that's funny, because the last time I saw it, I remember standing up and saying, wow, the guy who sang Go With The Flow was really, really good. So we had an opposite experience. But thank you, because I was starting to think I was crazy. I was like, is the Finding Nemo show not live? What the heck?
Is my world that jaded? Am I just completely naive to everything?
I don't mean to attack Keen at all, but like, he brought up questions that made me question myself, and I'm like, wait a second. So I'm glad to know I'm not crazy.
What's his name?
Keen.
You let the professionals do their jobs.
Oh, stop. Stop.
I'm just picking. No, I'm going to have to go research this myself, but I speak from experience on Crush sucking it up that day.
Well, at the end of his email, he did say, first of all, he said, I think I should be on your debate segment. But then he said, thanks to your show, now my kids and I play Disney 20 questions. They could never guess when I was on Discovery Island in the middle of Bay Lake. That's a good one.
They're like, what is that?
Going yeah. back, I have also heard Ariel in Voyage of the Little Mermaid be terrible as well.
Yeah, though I think that's live too.
Yeah, the one Ariel I saw, I don't know what it is, but she, I guess it's like a style where people try to sing like behind the music a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So she's like, look at this stuff. Like, but it was like one like she was trying to catch up the whole time, but she was doing it on purpose. You know? Oh, it drove me crazy.
Yeah, no. Sometimes it can work, but not all the time.
What's the movie or the show? Maybe I'm mixing lots of things in together where people like, it's either they're sleeping or they're dreaming or they're like thinking, like concentrating on being somewhere and like the alternate universe, they are there.
What?
I think that's called tripping acid.
Oh, like Inception, you know, where they go into that deep sleep to like they're really doing stuff in their dreams.
Oh, yeah?
The movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude, he needs to get out of Discovery Island in his head because the dream police are going to come get him. Put him in dream prison.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's going on either.
I just had this whole idea for a book. I'm going to write it now.
Okay. In the meantime, let me get to the second item of business. This is another email, but it's just kind of one quick question. And I responded, but I wanted to see what you guys thought. This is from Rachel. She says, I'm currently planning a 3-day, 4-night trip to Walt Disney World in January. I'm going with my husband and a couple we're close friends with. We're in our late 20s with no kids. We're currently planning our table service restaurants, and pretty much everything is still available. But the one area I'm stumped in is the table service restaurants in Epcot. We're only spending one full day in Epcot, and I know there are many phenomenal table service options there, but there are even more incredible and unique quick service options in Epcot. If we only have one day in Epcot, is it even worth eating a big meal and getting full at just one table service? Or is it better to conserve our appetites and enjoy many unique quick service options? Obviously, we'll visit many quick service locations either way, but I don't know if we would miss a wider variety if we include a table service restaurant to our itinerary. I've been listening for close to a year now. Thanks for keeping me entertained during my commute and chores. The Mad Chatters were definitely a major inspiration for planning this Walt Disney World vacation. Rachel. Aww. Yeah, thanks. That's nice.
Look, we did one soul at a time.
That's right.
That's what Jesus said to do.
So what do you think? Table service or multiple quick service?
Unless it's food and wine or flower and garden, I don't personally think sampling around the world... If you're going to do that, she said she's going to do a little of that anyway, right?
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, I wouldn't try to, like, plan on that as your meal. I mean, most of the quick service that's there now is, in each country, is pretty much sub-mall food court quality. Just the majority of it. Morocco's good. There's a few here and there that are really good. But unless it's flower and garden, food and wine, and they've got specialty booths, I wouldn't make a meal out of sampling around the world. I would latch into like Teppan Ito in Japan, Restaurant Marrakesh in Morocco, Le Cellier, or Beer Garden. You know, choose from those four. Those are the ones that kind of have the most adventurous, this is world showcase dining. Le Cellier, obviously very popular.
Yeah, she mentioned that specifically. She said everything still seems to be available, even Le Cellier. Mm. So... yeah, that's pretty much what I told her. What I said specifically was, if you're like me, then when you look back on your trips, you remember the experience much more than you remember the food itself. So yeah. Like eating in the Mexican restaurant while the boats float by, or eating in Le Cellier, that kind of cool dark environment. Like that's the stuff you remember. And also the fact that it was wonderful food. You don't think, wow, I had a really great sandwich at Kringlaw and then a really great taco at the Mexican Pavilion.
Yeah, or, you know, I would recommend Beer Garden. That's a good place to go. Everybody finds something they like at Beer Garden.
Yeah, it's a buffet. There's a show. It's practically a dinner show.
Yeah,
it really is.
And they're good, too. Live entertainment.
You've got four.
No, it's
views.
Probably pre-recorded. I think they're listening.
How did they know that guy's name? They have all the names recorded. This is Mike. It's his birthday. You know, Beer Garden's great. I'm going there this Saturday.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I miss it. Cool. So our third item of business is something you guys know, and it's something we have speculated for a long time on our show. In fact, I think last year during the Chatties, when we gave the award for most past its expiration day or whatever, however we word that, we said it's time for Main Street Electrical Parade to go. Well, we got our wish. And I want to know how you feel about it, because on October 9th, the Main Street Electrical Parade will run for the last time in Magic Kingdom.
I thought it was very random to announce it right now. It just seemed like out of the blue. It was just all of a sudden, Main Street Electrical Parade is going back to Disneyland because Paint the Night is ending.
Right.
But the thing that is confusing to me is they have yet to announce what is going to replace it. And I can't imagine that they would not replace it with anything, although that's happened in other parks. But
Paint the Night's only been there like a year, right?
Well, it was only there for the 60th anniversary.
In the world are they getting rid of it so quickly?
Well, that's the thing, like they spent a ton of money on it, so even though they said it was only there for the 60th, I didn't believe that for a second. I mean, think of the Main Street Electrical Parade when it came back in 2010. They said for a limited time engagement.
Summer Nightastic. I was just thinking about that on the way over to record.
And it's been 6 years.
Yeah. Think about the 50th anniversary fireworks at Disneyland that lasted for 6 years, 8 years, however long it
10
was.
10 years, because we went.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went in 2014 and it was still going.
So,
I don't know. I mean, I when we were texting back and forth, I was like, are they bringing Paint the Night here? And since you guys are now like more read on the rumors and news than I am, I got shot down pretty quickly, but I feel like
sorry.
I feel like that's kind of obvious, unless the other rumors are true and they're just moving it over to California Adventure.
I've heard that rumor, but they've also specifically said that they're going to keep it around so that way they can use it during special holidays and things like that. So are they just going to have both of these parades like stored in the back and then just at random times bring out either one?
I saw people, you know, speculating on a new version of Spectro Magic for 2021, but that's 5 years away.
Disney World can't not have a nighttime parade.
No, I mean, part of me thought, well, maybe they're just trying to phase out the nighttime parade because it's so crazy on Main Street, but I don't know. That's a big draw. And it gets all those shops on Main Street so much business during those, like, 3 hours of waiting. I mean, between, like, the electrical parade and the fireworks, people are constantly on Main Street for 3 hours, and the Emporium and Starbucks and the bakery and the ice cream.
Now, knowing that people are as attached to Main Street Electrical Parade as they are, do you think people would lose their minds if they tried to maybe integrate some of the more favorited aspects of Paint the Night into Main Street Electrical Parade? Because that seems most logical to me.
Hmm.
Like, you know, if we spend a lot of money on some of these floats, people seem to like some of these floats, let's incorporate them into Main Street Electrical Parade. That way you have that nostalgic level and that newer aspect as well.
I don't know. I would kind of accuse them of being lazy if they did that. Like, I would rather just have a whole new parade.
We have said how Main Street Electrical Parade, one, it's so anticlimactic. Like, there's nothing worse than the end of that parade.
America!
But we've also noted, and I've seen it, especially in, as you have this week on Twitter, people love that thing. And they have such an – like, that made national headline. Like, CNN was reporting the Main Street Electrical Parade was heading back to Disneyland. That was – it was that big of news in somebody's world, you know. So people seem to have this really tight attachment to it. But I think it needs to be updated for the modern.
You know what they could do? They could just put the water pageant on, like, floats and just float them down Main Street.
That's funny because I was just thinking, how has the electrical water pageant outlasted the Main Street Electrical Parade? It's
crazy. It just keeps that thing. You know, if they had personalities, that little parade on the water would be like, ha ha, y'all said I was boring, y'all said I was flat, but look, who's still here?
I got a feeling like the guy who drives those barges is like 90 years old. And he's about ready to die, and as soon as he does, it's retired. Like,
it's just like muscle memory. It's like
old Bud's been driving that barge since he started here in 1971, and we're just gonna let him go till he's done.
Yeah, they're afraid he'll die if they take it away from him because he'll have nothing left to live for.
It just makes sense. Look, little Occam's razor for you here. It just seems both parades announced leaving at the same time. I mean, it's not insane. I feel like sometimes the first thing Disney fans say, and I might be completely wrong, I often am. I feel like the first thing people generally say on the fan sites and the rumor sites is what is the least obvious. Because someone like me, someone will come out and say, hey, they're just swapping them for a while. And they'll bring that one back eventually, and they'll bring that one back eventually. Because that just seems like the most obvious thing. I think some people on those sites just feel like it's their duty to be like, no, they're not doing that. Disney has said they're not doing that. But, I mean, I don't know. They both go away at the same time, randomly.
I mean, it's a month apart, though.
Does Shanghai have a nighttime parade currently?
They do.
Because I was trying to think, maybe they're going to ship it overseas.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they do. I don't know if it's like an electrical style parade. I thought they had one called like Fantillusion or something. Oh, that's Disneyland Paris.
I've always heard great things about the Tokyo, I forget what it's called, Festival of Lights or Light Parade. I don't remember.
It's Hanukkah. But... I'm getting confused.
Maybe so. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. They've got to do something. It's been just so long since Disney World has got something. But the thing I thought when I heard this news was, my first thought was, oh, good. I'm going to be there twice before it leaves, and so I'm really going to take the time to absorb it. But at the same time, I'm thinking it really is time for that thing to go. Like, yeah, I enjoy it. It's fine, but it's time.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited to see what comes, though. This is one time that I'm like, genuinely, I don't see what's going to happen.
What if it's like a street street dance party before Wishes. With the Kringle Crew or something to that extent.
Sounds horrible.
I will burn that castle down.
How relevant we are.
Well, only time will tell, and you'll hear it here on the Mad Chatters podcast when it happens.
Yep. About 5 days after they announced
exactly.
It. That's all right.
After CNN talks about it for a few days, then we'll talk about it. But that's all the news I had, so how about a game?
Time for another Mad Chatter game! And now, here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jeremy!
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be back with another Mad Chatter game.
Steve had a reversal.
It happens. Today's game is one that the listeners at home can play along with. See if you can beat a chatter at your kitchen table or while you're driving or whatever you're doing. So
while you're driving,
please don't. For the safety of others. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, we're playing Disney Scattergories today. So we have 10 topics, and we are going to roll a letter. And the point of Scattergories is you have to think of something that starts with that letter for each topic, and you try not to match the other players. So if you happen to match Derek or Matt, then it doesn't count as a point. So Derek and Matt are obviously going to be just playing each other. They're not able to play you listeners. But go ahead and send us an email about how you kick their tail, if you do.
We will receive no emails this week.
So today's letter, through random draw, is the letter M. M, as in Mickey Mouse. And so now I'm going to go over the 10 topics. So you listeners, if you would like to play along, these are the 10 topics you need to come up with Disney-related answers to these, starting with the letter M. So number one, Disney song title. Number two, a Disney restaurant, Disney park restaurant. Number three, an item found in Disney Lost and Found. Number four, a non-human Pixar character. Number five, actor or actress who voiced a Disney character. Or park character or Pixar character, any kind of a character. Number six, country represented in It's a Small World. Number seven, something found in the Haunted Mansion. Number eight, article of clothing a Disney princess might wear. Number nine, a snack you might purchase on Disney property. And number 10, something found in Spaceship Earth. Gentlemen, you have your answers?
We do.
Then let's start. Number one, a Disney song title. Derek, what was your answer?
I said Making Memories by the Sherman Bros.
Oh, why don't you sing us a little bit of that?
Oh, gosh. I only know that one line.
Make a memory.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I felt like I was...
Little something of time. Making them yours, making them mine.
Okay, so I don't know it that well, but I know it exists because I've heard it on their CD.
Okay, and Matt, what was your answer?
I said Monsters, Inc.
Mm-mm.
Can you please sing that song?
Yeah.
Is it called Monsters, Inc.?
Is that the name?
It's Anna's favorite track on the Monsters, Inc. soundtrack.
Okay.
Well, look it up. It's number two on the soundtrack right after I Wouldn't Have Nothing If It Didn't Have You.
All right.
Well, Anna has good taste in music. I'll give her that.
She does.
I forgot to say, in case you all don't know the rules of Scattergories, if you have a double M answer, you get 2 points. So 2 points for Derek.
Woo.
And 1 point for Matt. All right, number two, a Disney restaurant. Derek.
I said Mama Melrose's.
Ooh.
You're good with these twos.
That was my last one.
Down things. Matt? I said Marrakesh.
Both answers are accepted and both are correct. So Derek,
I thought you were going to go Morimoto Asia.
Oh.
That's a good one. Is there any other M restaurants?
I'm sure there is. Mickey's something. Is there a Mickey's? Chef Mickey's, but...
Chef Mickey's, yeah.
I'm sure there are, but we'll let our listeners email us and tell us.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to think about it right now.
They're like, you idiots. You don't remember, blah, blah, blah. Okay, number three. An item found in Disney Lost and Found. Matt.
I said Mickey Mouse dolls.
Mm. Oh, that's a two-point answer. Okay. Unless Derek Luke crosses it out.
No, I said Magic Band.
My first answer was matches.
Where are my matches? Gotta light my cig. Because all people who smoke talk like that.
That's right. How offensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, just keeping with the theme of our show.
Mm.
Number four, a non-human Pixar character. Matthew.
I feel like we've matched here. Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep.
Dang.
They crossed
this
each
close
other
to Mater.
Mater.
Oh, yeah.
You could have said Marlin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He likes Marlin.
You don't have to like him to put him down.
He's such a drag.
I really wanted to put Marlin, but I just can't like him.
I don't like him. I can't bring myself to write his name. He's so mean to his child.
McQueen, Lightning.
I would have accepted McQueen, yeah. Number five, an actor and actress who has voiced a Disney character. Derek.
I said Michael J. Fox from the hit Disney film Atlantis.
That is really weird. Because I said Mahoney John, also from Atlantis.
Wow. Crazy. That's weird. That is weird.
Well, you both get a point for both being very... deep with that answer. That's deep in the archives there. That's a deep track. A deep cut. That's what the kids call it. A deep cut. I can't really think.
That is a deep cut.
Did Marley Matlin, did she ever voice a Disney character?
I do not know.
She's deaf, so probably wise she didn't. Can we just take a minute to think about what that would sound like?
Stop. That's terrible.
Number six, a country represented in It's a Small World. Derek.
I'm actually going out on a limb here and guessing that Mexico is in there somewhere. Oh, yeah, the piñatas. That's Mexico. Oh, no, wait, that's Grand Fiesta Tour.
Yeah, but there is Mexico.
Mexico's, there's the kid choking his chicken.
Oh, that's, of course, that's what I was thinking.
That's in Mexico.
Okay.
I said Morocco, Bob.
Surely.
Both answers are correct, and I will accept both of them. Number seven, something found in the Haunted Mansion.
The mausoleum.
Oh, good answer.
I said Madame Leota.
Another good
also
answer.
Good answer.
Thank
both
you.
Are correct. Maybe we should have picked a harder letter or redrew a harder letter.
This, I thought some of these were very challenging.
I thought so too, like the next one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight. An article of clothing a princess might wear. Matt.
Mittens.
Yeah. I said, during the winter, I'm sure they wear a muff.
They do. Anna and Elsa did, or somebody did. That's where I got mittens from, thinking about the Christmas parade.
Well, I feel like one of the princesses does on the parades during wintertime, but there's no way, because how would they wave? To just, like, hold up the muff to certain people. I don't know.
Hey.
But I feel like that's something a princess would wear in cold weather.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also feel like some of the princesses who are maybe are a little more trashy. I'm not going to name names. But you know. I'm sure they own a muumuu.
It's possible.
Like Ariel.
Like Ariel. Ariel owns a muumuu.
And she calls it a thingamadopper or something.
She, like, puts it in her mouth first.
Yeah.
Number nine. A snack you might purchase while in the park. Or on property.
I did not do a deep cut on this one. I said Mickey bar.
Okay.
I said a magic cookie bar.
Oh, good. Good.
All right.
I can't believe you didn't say mango whatever sickle thing.
Oh, yeah. Mango cream thing. Yeah, that's good too.
That's the official title.
I would have accepted mango cream thing.
Yeah.
And number 10, something found in spaceship Earth.
I said mini skirt, as in the afroed African American who's in
yes.
70s room.
I love her.
Michelangelo was my answer.
Oh, yeah.
Both are good. Every time I go by the disco girl, she needs a name for one. I'm always like, you be you, honey. You be a scientist and you be a go-go dancer and you just be both right there. That's right. Oh, that makes me happy. Makes me proud to be an American.
Mm.
All right, folks. That's the end of the game. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Steve, tell us who won.
Congratulations, Derek! By a score of 11-10, you have won another match to the game!
Woot.
Join us next time. Same match at a time. Same match at a podcast. Same match at a fun.
For our main segment today, we will be hosting slash participating in slash throwing our 10th Mad Q Party, which is where we, the Mad Chatters,
that's us,
go through 10. I want us to use the word hypothetical, but we're kind of in the middle. You know, what would you do? What could you do? What should you do? We go through 10 of those based on films, parks, just everything and anything Disney. And we give our answers and or solutions. So we're going to go through 10 of those and take turns giving our answers to those hypothetical Disney questions.
Is it really our 10th?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wow, guys.
I know.
I'll ask the first question, guys. Number one, what Disney film would you next turn into an elaborately themed bathroom a la Tangled restrooms, and what would it look like?
So for some reason, this was the first thing that crossed my mind. It's probably not the best answer, but I say it's time for Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse to go. But in its space, in a very small part of its space, you could build Swiss Family Pea House. No, you wouldn't really call it that. But you could have like a miniature sort of treehouse looking thing. So like when you walk in, through the middle of the room is like the trunk and maybe you see a few branches. And then everything in it looks like it's been kind of built from stuff they found. Like every door looks like a piece of a raft or a piece of the ship or something. And obviously the sinks and toilets would be normal sinks and toilets, but just kind of decorations and all that would look like things that you might find in a shipwreck. But like the main thing you see is the tree growing through the center of the room. I thought that would be kind of cool and Adventureland-ish.
I'm just picturing, do you remember that movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know when he's taking a dump in the outhouse there?
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing, because you start talking about Adventureland and bathrooms and treehouses, people are just going to start messing on the floor because that's what you do outside.
Oh, stop. It would be more whimsical. Like, it's still a Disney bathroom. It would just be whimsical and fun and, like, adventurous.
It would be more to theme if they just gave you a shovel and said, go in the foliage and good luck.
Well, that might be true.
But here's a bucket with a hole in it. Knock yourself out. My answer is one that is going to happen, although how it's going to happen is where my imagination comes in, and that is Star Wars themed bathrooms slash toilets. And I would love if these were like connected or part of the new cantina-ish restaurant that's surely going to be included in Star Wars Land. And if still keeping it practical and familiar, if they could somehow make the toilets and urinals and sinks look a little more futuristic, I don't know, go with like a metal look or something, that'd be pretty cool. And this sounds pretty gross, but like, and it'd be fake though. It'd be fake. Like if there was like tubes coming down on top of the urinals or on top of the toilets, and when you flushed, you know, they did bubbles and stuff like that. Very Star Wars like, with the little lights along the wall and the cantina music pumping in there. Maybe some good old fashioned wanted posters for Han Solo and Empire propaganda laying around for you to read.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty good.
The possibilities are endless with something like that.
Yeah.
I went in a different direction. As I have stated on this podcast before, I think that Meet the Robinsons is a entirely underrated film. So in Tomorrowland, I would like to have Meet the Robinson themed restrooms. These are the bathrooms of the future. And so like in each stall, maybe the toilet is kind of like that, I don't want to use the word steampunk, but more whimsical, like robotic-y looking. But the future aspect is, while you're in the bathroom, in the stall, there's a robot butler there to assist you. And so he might say, would you like some toilet paper now? And he will...
toilet paper?
He'll hand you the toilet paper. Or even more futuristic, he will wipe for you. So, or no. Would you like a toilet seat cover? And then he hands you the toilet seat cover. So while you're doing your business, there's somebody there to assist you and to wait on your every need.
If you listened to our debate last week about bathrooms, you know that Jeremy and I would both hate everything about that.
Well, if it's a robot, I wouldn't hate it. It's not. It's a lifeless piece of steel.
Until he takes over and records all your bowel movements and sells them to the government. And I don't know what they could do with that, but something terrible.
Put it on TMZ.
Okay, I'll go next. Number 2 says, if you could add a new path monorail line or some other form of access from one point in Walt Disney World to another, where would you put it?
I think that there needs to be a connection between Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I would love to see like safari-themed vehicles that could transport you from one park or from one place to the other. And maybe even put some animals on the path as well that you might see along the way. And so that way the theming continues, because I have been at Animal Kingdom and it closes at 7 p.m. and I want to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it kind of ruins the theming there, you know, the experience. If I have to go all the way to the parking lot, get in my car, drive to the other parking lot, if I could just jump a safari car, I almost said ship, but jump a safari car and go, that would be amazing.
I really like that idea a lot. That's good.
Thank you.
I just went basic and said, can we just please finally get monorail service to Hollywood Studios from Epcot?
Yeah.
I know that Animal Kingdom, you know, is way out there. And honestly, I think that a monorail going out there would be, I don't know. I'm okay with it not going out there because it's out there. It's Animal Kingdom. But Hollywood Studios, I mean, more often than not, if you're switching parks at night, you're jumping from one of those to the Magic Kingdom or going to Hollywood Studios or something. I just think that just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I like that, yeah. I said Disney Springs needs like a people mover line that goes from each of the parking garages. So like when you park, you go down to the second level and there's a people mover type thing that like it's constantly moving, and you just hop on and go from one end of Disney Springs to like the west side or to the marketplace or whatever. And I know it would take constant maintenance, but it would almost feel like, in a very, very small way, Walt's city is being realized, because Disney Springs is supposed to be like a little town, and then you've got your people mover going around.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be very convenient.
And another way to ride people mover.
Exactly. That's basically what I was going for, yeah.
Number three. What would be your ideal ultimate Disney medley for a Disney park?
Well, you all know how I feel about a Disney medley. In fact, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who sent us a medley from what show was that? I don't even know.
It was called Animazement, and it was at Disneyland in the late 90s. Obviously, because the three characters were very late 90s characters.
It was amazing, and it or Animazing, whatever it was, because it started out with Just Around the River Bend with Pocahontas. Then it went into Go the Distance with Hercules, rounding out there with Quasimodo. Amazing. First off, all those songs are great. Despite what you might think of the movies, you can't deny those are three incredible songs.
Sure.
So, again, any Disney medley I love, and I still think that somebody should just put out a whole CD. And if you do, I think a good song, the key to a good medley, in my opinion, is when there's a common theme that runs through it. So my medley is going to be about kissing. So I would love to see a nice medley done of True Love's Kiss from Enchanted with Kiss the Girl from Little Mermaid.
I like it. Is this during a show or a...
No, this would just be for my entertainment.
Okay. Jeremy, come to the back of the park at 4 p.m. and these princesses are going to perform for you.
No, there's two guys on the YouTube that I've seen that they do really good mashups and medleys of
popular songs. Yeah, yeah.
Like they did, my favorite one they did is that Sam Smith song, You Say I'm Crazy. Not the only one. And they mix that in with Ed Sheeran's
up on our pop culture.
Ed Sheeran's on the oh my gosh, when my hair don't fade and memories are gone. What did that's
uh-huh, I'm with you.
Thinking out loud. There yep. We go. So these guys could maybe do a whole like Disney mashup, mix up medley CD.
Hmm.
There you go. And Kiss the Girl, True Love's Kiss could be one of them.
Nice.
Because they're really good at taking like a slower song and interweaving it with a little more poppin' song.
Hmm. I think on a former Mad Q party, I said Animal Kingdom, where Finding Nemo is now, needs a sort of animal-themed variety show, basically, kind of like Mickey and the Magical Map. And I think a great medley would be a sort of jazz upbeat medley from Disney films featuring animals. And it's funny because you said you think there should be a theme. And I thought of four songs, and really there are two different themes between the four of them. So I thought of Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, which is like the ultimate jazz Disney song, in my opinion, mixed with I Want to Be Like You, because they're like, I want to be like somebody. And then also right after it, sort of in that jazz pop feel, would be Hakuna Matata and Why Should I Worry from Oliver and Company, which are both talking about no worries, why should I worry? And it'd just be a very lively, upbeat, animal-driven pop jazz number.
Yeah, I like that. And the first two, both Phil Harris, so there you go. I'm surprised somebody hasn't done like a good jazz medley mashup between I Want to Be Like You, Aristocats, and something from Princess and the Frog, maybe Down in New Orleans, because those are all really kicking jazz songs that you could really, especially with that trumpet, like they do in Mickey and the Magical Map.
Yes. When the pre-recorded trumpetist yes. comes out and plays.
Oh.
Just kidding.
When We're Human would be a better choice, I think, than the New Orleans.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, oh, yeah. I Want to Be Like You, When We're Human, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
Nice.
There mm-hmm. is kind of a theme there.
It really is, yeah.
Huh. We're on to something. Guys, I'm writing this down because okay. we are going to make money on this.
Oh my.
Here we go.
Mine is not that creative. It's just a hodgepodge of ideas and themes that I like. And it has to do with adventure. So I, too, vote for Go the Distance. I didn't think about Out There, but it'd be a good one, too. Maybe part of the fireworks, a new fireworks show or something to that extent. The theme from Up, because that's, you know, it's different, but Up has the theme of adventure, you know. Or the song Adventure is Out There, which is a great little ditty. You Can Fly, Yo-Ho, Pirate's Life for me, obviously, and like something classic like Whale of a Tale from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I think that'd make a great little feel-good, adventurous, get out there and explore.
I'm inspired already.
Yes, you reminded me, Matt, of that great quote by Howard Ashman, the late Howard Ashman, who talked about how in every great musical, at some point early in the show, usually the second or third song, the heroine sits down on something and she sings about everything that her heart desires and what she wants out of life, and that's when the audience falls in love with her and roots for her to get it the rest of the night. And so that kind of theme there, you know?
Or like, in the case of Kirk Douglas in 20,000 Leagues, he sits down on something and sings a song about all of those type females that he's taken advantage of over the years.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads.
Yeah.
Whale of a tale.
It's an offensive song. He's calling girls goats and seals and all kinds of things.
You know who does medleys? You know what does medleys really well is Soundsational, the daytime parade at Disneyland. I've always appreciated how that it puts it into like themes. So you've got the jungle theme with Circle of Life, I Want to Be Like You, and then what's the trash in the camp from Tarzan? Yeah. And now all the other ones have completely left my mind. They have the princess medley, of course.
Yes, they. What is the Three Amigos there with?
Oh yeah, there's like a tropical sort of theme because there's the three amigos.
Caballeros.
Or, yeah,
Three Amigos.
Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Chase.
Yeah,
they sing songs.
Anyway, good stuff. I mean, that's probably why it's called Soundsational, because music is the focus of that parade. But anyway,
I would just like to make a comment that Mickey plays the drums during that parade while on a float, and it's not faked.
All right, we've given Keen a hard enough time. We love you, Keen. Thank you for listening. And if your name is Kenny, I'm so sorry.
If they could mix, do like a Mary Poppins, Bedknobs, and Broomsticks kind of mashup, that'd be great too.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of all the different songs, because they're so similar in like their feel and their...
Oh, that's it. That's another part of Soundsational. Right before Mary Poppins, they do... Oh, A Pirate's Life is a Wonderful Life, as yeah. well as You Can Fly. Like, it's all like a Peter Pan piratey
I see.
Type thing.
What about a nice medley of Age of Not Believing and Feed the Birds?
That goes into Supercalifragilistic and Trigunamacoides and Trichorum Satisti.
Oh my goodness. We should just make a whole album.
Substitutionary locomotion.
We're going to put out the Mad Hatter's Disney Medley Mashup CD.
Sounds great.
Number four, if you had to scrap an attraction and create an entirely new attraction using the same movie or theme from the attraction that you scrapped, what would you do?
Okay, so this question was inspired by a conversation we had last week about Snow White's Scary Adventure was scrapped because Mine Train came. And Jeremy, you said you would be willing to sacrifice the Mad Tea Party in order to bring in an Alice in Wonderland trackless ride or dark ride or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so on that same thought, along those same lines, I said... I think they might actually be planning this as part of Star Wars Land. I'm not entirely sure. They haven't really said. But I think it's time for Star Tours to go. Like, I know they just redid it 5 years ago. But just that ride system is really old. It's really outdated, in my opinion, where you just sit still and watch a screen and move like a motion. What's it called?
Simulator.
Motion simulator, yeah. I think what would be better and much more immersive would be the KUKA type technology. Maybe you're in the Millennium Falcon and sort of like the Spider-Man attraction at Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, where you're piloting it and it really does move throughout the building and there's a mixture of like screens and live sets. I think I think that would be just much more modern and better than Star Tours. So I'd be willing to sacrifice Star Tours if we had the exact same type thing, but with the KUKA technology.
Well, I think we're getting that and Star Tours.
I think you're probably right, judging from the short clip they showed during that Disneyland celebration last year. But just in case they're not, I want them to know that that's what I want.
Well, I said to scrap Pirates of the Caribbean. No, I did not. I did not. I went small here, and I'm going for Winnie the Pooh. Because I love Winnie the Pooh. And I think the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh is an insult to the Pooh legacy. It's just so bad. It's not lit well. It's like you're in someone's like a children's church cheapy fakey set, and people are doing puppets and stuff. That's all it feels like to me. I just don't like it. And they could do so much more. Whether it's trackless and incorporating, you know, projection mapping with better animatronics and just a more cuddly ride. I mean, Pooh's cuddly, and it should be warm and not so... It's just sterile.
My answer is kind of controversial, but I would be willing to scrap Dinosaur in favor of an even better Dinosaur experience. Because I think with Dinosaurs, the potential is endless. So if they were going to maybe put in some type of... you know how, like, at SeaWorld, they have the Journey Through Atlantis ride or whatever that thing is? How it's kind of like a mixture of a dark ride with coaster elements? I think that would be a cool sort of experience for Dinosaur. So, yeah. You know, you're going through, and then at one point, maybe the T-Rex or whatever kind of dinosaur you want it to be chases you. So then you're on the coaster going really fast. And then you're back in dark ride elements, and then you're in the coaster again. And if you even wanted to expand it and make it even better than Atlantis, throw in a couple of inverts and turns and upside down and all that kind of stuff in there.
Wow.
So a true melding of coaster, dark ride, animatronics, scare your pants off, thrill your pants back on experience.
Hey, look. One thing would fix two things. Chester and Hester's goes away forever. It's a pond. It becomes a pond. And they somehow incorporate Land Before Time soundtrack. Just get the rights to that. Just play that over there over and over again, and you've got a perfect little land. With that water ride, I would be there all day.
Yeah, that is never going to happen. But I like the big ideas and the dreaming. Number five. What would you like to see replace the Pocahontas scene in Phantasmic?
Anything.
let's just be open and
freaking
honest.
Freaking sword in the stone.
You guys have a bias against Pocahontas, which I think is unfair, but that's all right. So you just are going with the assumption that everyone like you hates that scene.
If you had to replace the Pocahontas scene in Phantasmic, what would you do? How about that?
I think more often than not, people say, who's that? What is this? No surprise here. Pirates of the Caribbean. I would say Peter Pan, but they do that at Disneyland, and I don't want to seem like I'm being unoriginal. So I personally think with the opening of the next Pirates movie next year, 2 years, whenever it is, I think that a battle scene and a big ship going by would be great. I mean, that's a, you know, kind of similar to what they do at Disneyland with Peter Pan, a ship, and there's a battle on the ship, and people are falling, and there's cannons, but pirates.
That would be the only non-animated film to be in Fantasmic.
Well, except like Mary Poppins is kind of on the, she's on the steamboat there.
Oh,
the end,
well, but. Yeah, that's true. Can you imagine the pirates being on that ship at the end, like with his hook and waving the...
Just raping and pillaging as they go by.
Or not.
What are they doing? Yeah.
That's the scene that I want to see replace Fantasmic. A dopey gymnastics routine on the Steamboat Willie. Yeah. Oh, I just replayed the video in my mind and it's amazing. Okay, sorry. Jeremy, what's your answer?
My scene is The Lion King. I think that you can kind of form that into Pride Rock. So you start out maybe with Rafiki and them at the top holding the baby up, and then at some point, you know, through whatever kind of transition, you could turn that into the wildebeest scene. So the wildebeest are kind of running at the bottom, and Scar and Mufasa are at the top, and Mufasa could fall. And that would be kind of a dramatic portion.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you could even take it further to the end where Simba and Scar are fighting at the top and, you know, do like a big battle scene with hyenas. I think it'd be kind of a cool thing.
That would be cool. I think that scene was in World of Color, the original World of Color. You see him die. So, I mean, it's not like...
Now, I'm not trying to poke holes in your answer, but what do you do with the earlier Lion King-ish scene with...
The monkeys?
Can't wait to be king.
You replace that with Jungle Book. I want to be like you.
Yeah.
Hmm. I said Tangled would be good because I think you could, you know how, so Pocahontas, it starts with the mine, like all the bad guys, or well, the pilgrims come out and like sing that song. So I think you could replace that with the ruffians singing I've Got a Dream, kinda, and kind of like a big brawl scene or whatever, and maybe the horse comes out, I don't know. But then after that scene, after things quiet down, then the boat comes by with Rapunzel and Flynn Rider, and then on either side are boats coming from other directions with people like releasing the lanterns, and they're singing cool. I See the Light.
And that goes into the Princess Medley good.
Exactly, yeah. But it would be like fun and like rah, 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 but then like it quiets down and it gets dark and the lanterns go, and I think that'd be cool.
Yes, and that movie was on the other day on the Disney Junior, and I turned it on right as that scene was starting, and I just forgot how good that was. You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the Disney sing-along videos that you used to watch in like music class in elementary school, and how it would just like start the scene, you know, like no context. It's just like, oh, here's the next song with the owl, and so I happened to turn on right as the song started with I See the Light, and I had a flashback to like second grade Jeremy nerding out over Disney sing-along in music class.
The younger generation today is missing out.
They really are. There was nothing better than those videos. And what was the name of the owl that hosted those?
Yeah, I actually forgot about the owl until you said that.
Yeah, I loved him.
Professor Owl is his name. He goes back to Adventures in Music, 1953.
Oh.
Yeah, and he did not show up again till 1986. With the Disney sing-along collection. Isn't that great?
That's fascinating.
Number six. If you could take the theme of a quick service restaurant and turn it into a table service restaurant or vice versa, what would you... I feel like that's what they're doing anyway. What would you do? Jeremy.
I know in New Fantasyland we have a lot of Beauty and the Beast between Belle's Enchanted Stories and the Be Our Guest restaurant. But I would like to see Gaston's Tavern expanded into an actual tavern where you could go in and enjoy a drink and maybe sit down at some tables and have a nice time. Maybe like an adults-only sort of aspect. Like a la Club 33...
Wow, Disney World would get gypped if our version of Club 33 was a Gaston's Tavern.
Well, you know, they already they've broken the no alcohol in the Magic Kingdom rule for Be Our Guest. So just expand that over to the tavern there. Tavern is in the name. And so you might as well.
Yeah, but Liberty Tree Tavern.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Well, I would like to see Gaston's expanded. Like I said, maybe put in more seating, a little more food options would be nice, and a nice open bar.
There you go. I think the sci-fi dine-in theater is a great theme for Hollywood Studios especially. It just makes sense. But I have never been because I've heard that you go for the experience, not the food. And I kind of, if I'm going to spend that much money, I kind of want to enjoy the food. And I've heard it's gotten better. Like, I'm not going to knock it because I haven't been there. That's just what I've heard. But I would love to see the same type of thing be at a quick service restaurant where every booth is like a little car. Maybe you have a little jukebox at your table. There's the dine-in screens all around you. But you just go to the counter, order a burger and fries or, you know, other typical just drive-in type food, and then just go sit at the booth and enjoy the cool, like, just the car booths and the movie Hollywood type environment. That's the only thing that keeps me from booking it, because it feels like it should be a quick service idea, but it's really a table service.
Well, mine is predictable. And it is Tortuga Tavern, yeah, in front of Pirates of the Caribbean. Why is that not an elaborately themed Pirates restaurant already? Table service, that is. Inside, comfy, cozy, little fire going, fake, of course. Barrels, you eat on barrels, you know. That soundtrack from Dead Man's Chest called The Two Horn Pipes, that little track for that scene is wonderful, like Celtic fiddle music. Kind of a raucous atmosphere, have sound effects of just like a crowd and maybe a fight or two silhouetted in the window. I think that'd be terrific. That would give that whole little area a little pirate village feel that encompasses the attraction and then the restaurant.
I definitely think a pirate's restaurant would be great. What you're describing kind of sounds like Rainforest Cafe with pirates a little bit.
What?
Pirates fighting in the windows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you imagine, like a window that's not really a window, like on an inside wall that looks like it's going out into the night and there's, like, a fire or something. I'm not talking, like, a detailed scene. You got, like, frosted windows. You just see, like, silhouettes every once in a while of a little fight going by, and hey, it's over. It's not like you have the elephant room or something.
Gotcha.
Rainforest Cafe.
I think that would be great. I really do. I like that.
You hear noises upstairs. The captain gets mad upstairs. Arr! Specialty drinks.
Number 7. What is a Disney topic you would love for an expert to write a nonfiction book about?
Oh, so many. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'll probably never read them, but there are a lot of topics that I'm fascinated about and would like to know more about. But one of the things I thought would be really cool is sort of like a coffee table book about all the Disney hotels throughout the years. And you could have like big spreads of what the lobby looked like when it opened, or like how the process maybe changed from their first ideas and how it like kind of transformed into what it is now. And you could have a whole section devoted to resorts that never happened because... Help me out, but around the Seven Seas Lagoon, wasn't there like an Indian themed, or a Peruvian or Persian or something?
Persian, I think.
Okay, themed hotel that never happened.
Right.
So I think it'd be fascinating to see concept art for those, and maybe hear from people who built like the moderate resorts, what that process was like.
Yeah, that sounds terrific.
Yeah, pictures of the construction, pictures of the rooms, like, throughout the decades.
Yeah.
I would like that.
I can't imagine what the Persian one would be like in the 1970s. It'd be so racist. It wouldn't still be around, I can tell you that much.
Maybe.
I got Tinder on this one, and I would love to have a nonfiction book about Walt's marriage.
Oh.
Walt's relationship to Lily. And, you know, to be the, you know, the one of the most iconic names in entertainment and pop culture today, it's interesting to think about the man behind that icon, as so many are not that are icons in that, in those fields, as a family man. First and foremost, a family man with a loving wife of more than, what, 40, 50 years?
Yeah.
I don't remember. What anniversary were they celebrating in 55? Wasn't it 30?
No, they were married, I want to say, in like 1925.
So that would be so that's 30.
Yeah, my bad.
If we're wrong, we're wrong. So what, they were married 41 years before he passed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, and obviously in a lot of the things she was inspiration and creative force, and you know, you could throw all the sides a bone. You could throw the family folks a bone by showing Walt as the family guy who was married for 40 something years and had children and was that typical American family. But you also have the strong woman side, which shows the woman behind the man, and that's Lily.
Oh, no doubt that probably, I mean, we probably just don't know how she influenced, really, you know, because I'm certain every idea, well, not every idea, but a lot of those ideas were bounced off of her, you know, just how was your day? What are you working on? Well, we're doing this. Oh, well, did you ever think about blah, 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 or, ooh, I hate that, or, ooh, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, there's probably a lot of things there.
Hmm. Yeah.
I did, I think I tweeted this, and it touched me. I was reading Jim Corcus's book on Mickey Mouse a couple weeks ago, and there's a quote in there by Lily that she said in 1974, and she said, "I just can't watch Mickey Mouse because whenever I see Mickey, I think of Walt, and it makes me cry." And I was like, "Oh, that's so tender." Mm-hmm. My answer for this was, I would like to see. I think this might exist. If it does, I haven't read it or researched it, but I want to see some. An honest answer, unbiased, of what the company went through and the struggles that it went through from the period right after Walt died up until the mid-80s. Because that is not just culturally, that was an interesting time. So I know there was a lot of external influences on the company, but particularly how they handled that transition of losing Walt and who was going to be in charge and whose ideas were going to be followed. And as you know, like the animation really struggled in the 70s and 80s. The parks thrived, you know, mm-hmm. But so I would just like to really see an honest approach, almost a la Waking Sleeping Beauty, how that really was at times painfully awkward to watch those three power-hungry men, Eisner and Roy Disney and Katzenberg. How they kind of all fought for power. I'm sure there was some of that going on there right after Walt died. Yeah. So I'd love to see that.
That would be like putting Sleeping Beauty to sleep.
Yeah. Killings, smothering Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
I would read that. Or yes. I would have you give me the
give you the
Cliff Notes.
I would watch the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. It'd be depressing, but I'd watch it.
My other answer was, I would like to see a book on the voices in the park. Now, I know that format probably doesn't translate well to a book, but I still think it would be interesting. I'm always fascinated by, like, when one person voices, like, 15 different things, and you're like, oh my gosh, I never knew that that voice was connected to that. So, like, maybe just a little book that gave a couple of pages to different voices, you know, their biography, what the work they've done, how they got into the business, almost like they do at that panel each year at D23. Yeah. Because I think I sent you all the text message. I did not realize the current narrator on the Disneyland Railroad is Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's crazy.
Me either. See, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, whoa. Now, if there was a whole book of that, just imagine the fun facts I could share.
I thought it would be fun to try to get one of those people to be on the show, like the voice of the Disney buses or the voice of the monorail, like someone to come on and just talk to us about what that's like.
Oh, absolutely. And he's going to record my voicemail when he does.
Yep.
I give you $20 to say this.
Number 8. If Hollywood Studios opened a new great movie ride using only Disney movies, what are a few scenes you would like to see?
I would show how the Disney company changed the face of the movies and continues to change the face of the movies. So obviously one would start with maybe a little animation montage showing how Walt Disney, you know, went from the Alice comedies to Oswald and maybe just a little bit of Mickey. Just like the opening, like where the little birthday cake people are and Singing in the Rain. And then you go into, okay, the first big one, Snow White, and there's the maybe it's even like the Carthay Circle Theater on one side and the lights going, and on the other side is the like inside the movies, and you're seeing little clips of Snow White. And yeah, what a big old deal that was that we sometimes forget. Fantasia, which is already represented, but moving it forward, maybe a little bit of The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Night on Bald Mountain, just and this would be heavy on narration and history, which might translate to we're never going to do this, and that's fine. 20,000 Leagues, I would say Treasure Island because it was the first live-action film Walt Disney did, but 20,000 Leagues was really that first, like, wow, visual effects, special effects that had never been done before that really changed how people did movies in the 1950s. Peter Pan, Cinderella, Mary Poppins, obviously. And then you get to the Trons and maybe like a little 80s and 90s montage, you know, the Disney Renaissance and Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid, Aladdin and all that stuff leading up to today, where we see maybe in the closing segment some of Disney's current classics, Pirates of the Caribbean and maybe some of the more live action movies they've done recently that are good.
Dang.
See, your answer is similar to mine. Because I thought Fantasmic does such a good job showcasing the animated films, mm-hmm, that the live action films are often overlooked. So I was only going to put in live action films, Disney films, into Great Movie Rides. So starting with Treasure Island and then moving, like you said, 20,000 Leagues, but then going all the way through, like I said, with Pirates, even some of those oddball ones that people may not totally appreciate, something like The Parent Trap.
Love the Parent Trap.
Things that people like but are not necessarily culturally iconic.
And that might be an easy way once you come to the modern day. Of course, that's not really Disney, is it? If you worked in the Marvel thing, but
I would allow it.
Be a little way to work it in, like Disney, the age of acquisitions, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Marvel, whatever else they've bought.
Interesting. I don't know.
Muppets, just all in a big old, here's what we bought in the last 10 years. Up yours, world.
We own everything.
We own your house.
Wow. A live action, a ride dedicated to live action Disney movies. That's very interesting.
And of course, the finale would it be
The Black Hole.
Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
And Cool Runnings.
And The
Cool
Big Green. Runnings.
And is that Disney too?
Yeah.
There we go. Like those terrible 90s.
I feel like Disney's trying so hard to get back into really good quality live action movies that are not, and by live action, I also mean like realistic, not like Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean like real life movies like The Finest Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Million Dollar Arm. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant The Jungle Book and Pete's Dragon.
Well, that too. Well, no, not so much. Like, more along the lines of what you just said with, like, Cool Runnings and stuff. Not, I know there's some of those are comedies, but they're, you know, they're not fantastical in any sense. They're, like, real stories, real people. I don't know. Not true stories, but real.
What was that running one with Kevin Costner?
That was the next one I was going to say. And then this new Queen of Katwe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't feel like any of these have done very well, but they all have really good reviews. Most of them do, at least. And I don't know. I guess people just don't want that from Disney anymore.
Well, that to me, though, you got to keep that aspect because that's like that safe for the whole family kind of entertainment.
Right.
Yeah, it's like what you used to watch on Disney Channel on a Monday, Tuesday night before Disney Channel went straight to hell.
Moving on, my answer, I actually didn't think of the whole attraction. For some reason, I just, two scenes came to mind when I looked at this, and I'm just going to say them because they were the first ones I thought of. First, I think Disney could do Beast transformation scene from Beauty and the Beast. Like, I feel like technology has come a really long way, and there's something really, they could do like some sort of wow moment. Because first of all, that music is terrific from that scene. And they could play it, and like, maybe the wind starts to blow around you and you see him like rise up from the ground, and maybe up on the ledge you see Cogsworth and Lumiere and all them. And before your eyes, he transforms into the prince, and it's just like a wow moment.
They already have that in the live on stage, and it's just as, it's amazing.
Blows my mind. It's incredible. And then the other scene I thought of, this is so random, but speaking of live action, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I think it would be cool. Okay, so work with me for a second. The new Pirates of the Caribbean in Shanghai. Have you seen the scene where it's like sets around you and then all of a sudden it looks like you're diving underwater? Like it's all screens around you, but it's like...
Oh, it's when the water, like you're actually rising to the top, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool stuff.
Yeah, so you could do the opposite where you're sinking like... on all around your ride vehicles, like bed knobs pop out, like all of a sudden you're on a bed, and then it's just water all over you, and it looks like you're going underwater, like that scene for Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, and they sing the song, swimming along, bobbing along at the bottom of the beautiful briny sea.
And that's it, and your on-ride narrator could say, everybody sing with me, and everybody say, I've never seen that movie.
I haven't watched that in a while. I'm watching that tonight.
Oh, me too, I think.
Nice. I don't have it.
Oh.
Is it on Netflix?
Doubtful.
Oh. Yeah, I doubt it. Okay. I have it on... I have the special edition DVD that came out, was it, a couple years ago?
Anyway, those are just the two scenes I randomly thought of. But there you go.
Okay. Number 9. If you could create a limited run Netflix series based on a Disney attraction, what would you do? Jeremy.
My answer is kind of a cop-out in a sense because it's something that I want to see. I've talked about this before, I think, at least in our private lives. I love Dumbo Circus from Disney Channel back in the 80s. It is a piece of my childhood that I have clung to for forever. And so I would love to see a Dumbo Circus reboot. And you could base it on Dumbo's adventures in Storybook Circus and kind of do a little crossover there. But bring back those live action Dumbo costumes. Bring back the characters, because those were, except for Dumbo, those were some original characters in that film. The lion, the cat, the koala, I forget their names. The dog. But it was such a good show. I miss that show. Put that out, Disney, please.
Aww, I feel for you because you've been asking for that for a long time.
I have. I have written letters. I have emails. I contacted people. I've done everything I can. But Dumbo Circus, Welcome to Pooh Corner, Adventures in Wonderland, all those need to be released.
Mm. Disney has made a few good movies based on attractions, and I'm mostly thinking Pirates of the Caribbean. Actually, I'm only thinking Pirates of the Caribbean. Is there another big one? I don't know. But
no.
There are plans, supposedly, to do an It's a Small World one. But I think the limited run series idea has really taken off in the last few years, and I think maybe Disney should tap into that market. And I think what... They mentioned this at one time, maybe doing an ABC series based on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And they just didn't do it. I don't really know what happened there. But I was thinking you could do a limited run series about this. And the plot is... So the story of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is that this ground is haunted. And so this runaway mine train just constantly runs with no one in it. And that's what you're writing. So I was thinking it could take place in modern day. But... like modern day Arizona or something, wherever that is, the Mesa, I don't know. And there's that mountain a few miles from town that no one really talks about because...
Is its name Big Thunder?
That's it. And it's people say it's haunted because they hear sounds of like a train at night or whatever. Well, all of a sudden, a guy from like the 1800s shows up in their town from the past. And he's talking about how someone's trying to curse their town or whatever. Like, it's right before the whole thing goes down. And so they have a chance to go back in time and stop it from happening. So he enlists the help of these people from the town. And then, like, every episode could end with, like, a big cliffhanger. About the middle of the series, you could have, like, a flashback where he talks about some bad guy in the town. And then at the end of the episode, you realize it's, like, the banker in their town now or something like that. Like, it's the same person. And you can't trust him.
Dun, dun, dun. Exactly. And Tony Baxter is the cameo.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, I feel like there's lots of mystery there. And you could do some scenes in the Old West and then do some scenes in the present, but where characters from the Old West are like out, like a fish out of water, sort of. Yeah. And it would be called Big Thunder Mountain. You did not see that coming.
I did not. My answer is the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Barring the upcoming supposed movie that's been in the works for like 10 years. By Guillermo del Toro. It's the first name I can't get.
He was spotted in Disneyland with Ryan Gosling. It's gonna happen.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm all for it if it does. But if not, I agree with you that I think this kind of limited run where people sit down and, you know, you watch one episode, I gotta watch the next one. And you leave them hanging at the end of each episode. I think that would work really well with the Haunted Mansion. As long as they didn't go, like, with the cliche plot, you know, somebody died, who killed them, and that's the secret. I mean, it's gotta kind of delve into the stuff that's kind of popular now with folks, you know, Conjuring and Supernatural and things like that. Not getting too Satanistic with it, because it's the Haunted Mansion after all. It's Disney. It's got to be family friendly. But it can have a little bit of a darker element to it, I think, and be fine.
What about if the main stars are the children from the Eddie Murphy film all grown up?
No.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. I guess I don't have anything against them in particular. But yeah, I think that's great because there's so many iconic scenes from that really each episode could take place in a different room from the Haunted Mansion.
Absolutely, and I really feel like something a little less goofy than the... I know they were trying to go for family-friendly, fun, spooky, creepy in that movie, but I mean, something that's really on the edge, the verge, you know, like Pirates is, you know, really to a larger extent, although completely different material, but that's one of those things that's kind of on the verge of being... You know, can I watch this with my kids? Can I not? I don't have any problem with that being a little thin line.
Yeah, well, the attraction itself rides that line perfectly of, like, playful, yeah, but also, like, a little creepy. And I think the movie went too playful. And yes, that's where it messed up.
Yeah, too playful and, like, racist.
I haven't seen it, so...
Yeah. You've never seen it?
No, I've seen bits and pieces, and that is enough. Enough.
Well, yeah, you ought to at least watch it. I mean, at least Terrence Stamp is wonderful in it.
Okay.
And Wallace, what's his last name?
Gromit? I'm just kidding.
No.
From Clueless?
Wallace Vander.
Sean. Wallace Shawn.
Yes, the voice of Rex.
Yeah, he's in it.
Nice. All right, what's the last question?
Last question, number 10. What is something you would like to see in a brand new nighttime parade? Since we're speculating that a new parade is coming to Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom, what do you want to see in it, Derek?
I actually think Paint the Night looks good. I like the look of it. I like the colors that they use. It's very bright and colorful. So I would like it to incorporate that type of lighting as opposed to Main Street Electrical Parade, which is sort of like Christmas lawn ornaments coming down the street. Like, that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, a little faint, and you don't really detect specific colors. It's all just kind of like lights. Anyway, so I think it should have the Paint the Night feel. But my problem with Paint the Night is it has too many floats from movies where music is not a really big deal. Like Monsters, Inc., the float is really cool where the doors turn and the doors have, like, images on them. But Monsters, Inc. is not known for music, and I think a parade needs to be focused on the music. Maybe that's just me because I realize I'm not the target demographic for a parade, and that's probably why they're just kind of okay to me. But I think music really helps create that, like, emotional connection for a person. So I want them to pick all movies where they can really make a certain song or a certain score just soar, because that's what people think of when they think of that movie. And mostly my idea, I think it should feature actual scenes for movies. So, like, instead of a princess coming by on the float and just, like, waving, I think it'd be really cool if you had, like, Aladdin and Jasmine on a carpet that looked like it was flying around and you hear the song A Whole New World playing. Or, like, Circle of Life, I think it'd be really cool if you had Mufasa and Simba, or maybe just Simba, standing up on a mountain and all around you are, like, kind of like from The Lion King, the musical, where the people are dressed as the animals and they're marching down the street all around it. And then every once in a while, like, they bow to the mountain while it plays Circle of Life. I just think it'd be cool to see actual scenes from the films recreated right before your very eyes as they travel down Main Street.
Yeah.
And once again, Tangled, it could look like they're in a boat as they come by and, like, people are running around them with the lanterns and all sorts of things.
So romantic.
So romantic. I just got goosebumps talking about it.
I agree. And my idea for parade is capitalize on the nighttime thing, not so much the light thing, which you can incorporate illumination and lights. I feel like that's really all they've ever done with nighttime parade, unless it's like Halloween or Christmas, is they go for the light thing. And then it's just kind of a random assortment of things that are all covered in lights. And that's fine. But why don't we really go for, like, a nighttime theme? Like, you know, some of the best magic happens after the sun goes down or whatever. And Frickin' Frack can be the host. What's his name from Princess and the Frog?
Ray?
Ray. He could be the host instead of Jiminy Cricket. You know, they have Ray be your host. I think that'd be perfect.
Who dat dang ready for a parade?
That's perfect.
That's great.
Ooh, here they come. And turn out the lights. And
that's great because he's a firefly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they could have the little going down the bayou, going down the bayou. And just scenes from Disney movies that happen, you know, at night that are great. Like, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat segment, or maybe just a little jazz segment with that and some other things. And I See the Light thing, the Lion King part where Mufasa's in the clouds. I mean, I don't know how you do that, but... There's some great nighttime scenes in
Look
Disney movies.
Closer.
Yeah, Kiss the Girl, Was It Night, Whole New World.
Oh, I see the theme. Okay. It took me a second. I'm with you. Yeah.
Like, it could be about the stars. There's magic in the stars. There you go.
Oh, magic in the stars. I like that.
I do too.
But I also like Ray. Like, I want Ray, like, when Kiss the Girl goes by, I'd be like, you boys and girls better cover them eyes. It's going to get gross.
He just talks the whole time. That might get a little old.
A little bit. It'd be like the girl during that Shanghai grand celebration. Now they're playing a song with their instruments.
Looky there with that flying carpet. That's some Madame Odie mess right there.
Oh, you're pretty good at that.
Thank you. I practice. My idea for a good parade... I love and paint the night, and I'm converting now to Matt's idea with the going down the bayou. But I love how they take the song from Wreck-It Ralph, When Can We Do This Again? And that is like the running theme. So even though it breaks up into segments, it always reverts back to that theme.
As well as the Baroque Hoedown in between.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like to me, that just... I don't know why, but that I just love that. Mm. So even though you go off on the Monsters, Inc. segment or the Princess segment or whatever, it always comes right back to that same refrain. And I think a good parade theme would be – or a good song. You could have to revamp it a little bit to make it possibly a little more upbeat for parade. But little moments from Meet the Robinsons. So the whole idea would be like, you know, remember these moments, the little moments that we share together, kind of a thing. but I like Magic in the Stars. That's I'm converting to that. So put in the Meet the Robinsons song in some way as the refrain to Magic in the Stars.
When you say Little Moments, do you mean Little Wonders?
Oh my gosh, I totally said the wrong title.
Okay, yes. I was like, that sounds so familiar, but...
Oh, when you said Little Moments, I thought like the whole parade is going to be scenes from Meet the Robinsons.
No,
like, that's a whole parade to that.
Dedication. I'm tired. Little Wonders.
I'm with you. If it was Magic in the Stars, you could end with When You Wish Upon a Star. I'm just saying.
I like Magic in the Stars. Guys, if that comes out, I know they're listening to our podcast. Because that's good.
Yep.
No, but throughout the whole parade, everybody keeps going back to our lives are made in these small hours, these little wonders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those are three solid ideas, and I think now that we can't possibly top it, we should just call it quits. That was our 100th question, you guys. 100.
Wow. It sure felt like it, too.
Yeah. With that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode and all the episodes if you have been tuning in. You can always reach us at comments@madchatters.net, although after we attacked poor Keen, why would you want to contact us? But you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Mad Chatters. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
See you real soon.
I'm going to be honest, I've been a little distracted the last 10 minutes because I'm trying to think of a restaurant that starts with M. There's got to be another one.
What's the name of the restaurant in Morocco?
Marrakesh. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you said. Okay.
I'm going through the list in my head of Epcot.
I know.
Is it in Epcot or was it anywhere?
Anywhere.
Mike?
You're on to something. Monsieur Paul.
There you go.
I can't say that word very well, but that's it.
Monsieur.
Min and Bill's Dockside Diner.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Main Street Bakery. That's it.
Wow.
Even in the water parks.
Huh.
Can you imagine a world?
In a world.
Where no restaurants start with it.